Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, regular mini episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Elberton, and who's delivering the mail with me tonight?
It is Christopher Dickerson from Pretentious Nerds coming in to talk about Lake with you.
Welcome.
And I'm Lucas Miller, or Luke, whatever.
All right, and welcome. This is your first time on the show. Well, thank you for joining us. So we are here to talk about a game that I have been thinking about. How long has it been, Chris, since you first mentioned it to me on the podcast?
Dude, has it been like 3 years? Is it no? It can't be that long, right? Like,
because you were on a what are you playing? I was tempted to look this up, but the amount of effort that was going to be put in was not in my. And I actually don't put any notes of like what people talk about in the show notes. I don't do that because. Let's listen to the show and find out. But yeah. I want to say you joined early on some point in late 2021 after this game had came out and had talked about Lake.
Yeah, I remember because it was what you were playing. I remember we talked about the dodgeball game. Dodgeball Academy. And then we also came up. Well, I was playing a bunch of things, but Lake came in there. And it's just wild that we're finally back to it. And I remember really liking it and talking about it. I guess it was probably 2021. But yeah, I'm happy that you finally got around to playing it because it's certainly something to discuss. You know, it's a smaller title, but I think it has enough there. It's also just very weird in the realm of video games. I would definitely consider it a cozy game, terminology. But I like it because a lot of cozy games are longer, right? They're farm simulators. They're games that want you to be cozy for at least 50 to 100 hours in what you're doing. This is a nice, breezy, I think, 6 to 8 hours? It's been a long time.
Even that.
Yeah, it's probably even shorter. But I like this cozy. It's very linear, of course, because you are going throughout a season. And yeah, I just really, really like it because it is a cozy game. I can just sit down for 6 hours and be like, this is a very goofy, silly story. And yeah, I have fond memories because of it. Even if maybe at the time I wasn't as praiseworthy of it, I have since like even warmed up to
it. You liked it when we talked about it. I'm trying to figure out when it was, but it's not going so well. You did like it. I remember that because you got my attention about this game immediately. And I've been thinking about it ever since you first talked about it. In that, what are you playing? And it's been at least 2 years for sure. I'm trying to look it up, and I don't think it might have not been 2021. It might have been early 2022. And whenever I got you on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I have not stopped thinking about this game. Also, this game developed by Gammonis, which is a developer that I never heard of before. But looking at their history, does a bunch of mobile games and stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, I never looked them up either. So
I just did for a second. And this came out in 2021, and then for PS4 and PS5 in 2022, and for Stadia in 2022.
Oh, it came out for Stadia too?
Yeah. I'm sure that worked out well.
Oh, I'm sure it's still doing great. And in case, I want to make sure you guys know, just in case it's missed over the course of the podcast, this game does actually have DLC.
Yes, I saw that. There was a part of me that thought, I should get this when it goes on sale, and then I can record a Christmas episode about it. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to do that, but the idea is there.
I looked at it, and I was like, maybe I should get it. And then by the time I was like serious about it, it was like after Christmas. So I was like, well, it's too late. You know, maybe next Christmas I'll come around and check it out.
Christmas DLC?
Yeah.
Yes. When you come back for the holidays and deliver mail again. Hey, you know what? Hey, they already built the world. They already got it. Like, I am curious about it as a Christmas mini. I am whether it will happen or not. Who the fuck knows? But yeah. I am curious.
Maybe next year we can revisit it.
I mean, I need time away.
Oh,
this is. I mean, it took about 6 hours. I looked up what it was on Steam. It was 5.8 for this.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, so you just got my attention because this game takes place. I've heard multiple people. I was watching reviews before this, and like nobody could get the year right of what year it was supposed to be. Someone's like, it's 85. Oh, it's 88. This takes place in 86.
Interesting. I didn't know that they gave a hard date.
Yeah, they do. It's September 1st, 1986 is when she returned to her hometown of Providence Oaks in, what state was this? Oregon, I think?
I'm going to go and trust your judgment.
Okay, because they do say. They actually say what state they're in. I beat this a week ago. I don't remember, and I was going to replay it, and that didn't happen.
A week ago. Month for me.
I play everything pretty close to. I used to be like beat it right before, but now I beat everything about a week out from when I when I have a planned recording.
Checks out. Yeah.
So I try not to do too like I don't want to do it too much. Like I don't want to be like, oh, I'm a month ahead of the schedule and I don't remember what the fuck happened. I beat, you know, 10 games since then. So I keep it closer. But yeah. But no, I mean, it's just a very touching little story. I mean, I'll just kind of go over the plot real fast. Like the idea that you're this woman to 1986 working with computers. You live, I'm assuming that's New York. They don't ever say, but it feels like New York to me.
Big town.
It's either New York or Seattle or something, but I don't think it's that close. But if it's New York, the time zone things might not make complete sense. It's irrelevant. It was just something that I wanted to know.
Yeah.
It's a personal issue, but like the idea is that you come back to your hometown after you haven't been there for 20 years and you're taking over your father's route because he's taking a vacation for the first time in his life or something, whatever the hell. He's in Florida. you're here. And it's just an interesting little game where it's really just the mechanics of the game are just you driving a postal truck and delivering mail each day. You have 2 weeks that you're in this town. And you get a list of packages and letters you have to deliver and packages you got to grab the right one or it won't let you deliver it. And letters you just walk up and press A. Like, very, very simple gameplay, but honestly fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was super compelling. I think I first, there was like an Xbox indie game demo fest or whatever.
Oh, and yes, there was.
They dropped the demo of it and I was just like, sure, why not? I like story-based little things. And I ended up playing like 2 hours or something. I got sucked into this little, just all these like characters and then just drop. I'm like, why am I enjoying this? It's the most, like, this could be the most boring thing in the world, but I don't know. I thought it was really, really interesting.
I mean, that's to its credit. Like, it's actually a very interesting little game.
100%.
Sorry. Yeah. I think the characters, what makes part of the reason the game is so compelling is, in effect, obviously it's characters. They are, I think as like, you know, generally games that have are a lower budget, they'll have like stiff like cutscenes. But with effect, these stiff cutscenes, the characters are so, I don't want to say charming in their own way. They each have their own wild personalities. And I think the wacky voice acting kind of lends into like the charm a lot. I do not remember the characters at all.
That's fine.
But I think Meredith is the main character.
Yes, there's Meredith. Yes. That's all that really matters. The rest are just kind of like, we can just say their profession. I don't even know what the hell their names are. And I just beat this game a little bit ago. Like, it's irrelevant. I mean, you have Lumberjack guy. You have Video Store Girl.
She was the best.
They're all just so like extra and extravagant and just wild. And it's like every time it makes you want to go back with them and learn and like talk to them more. I was just like, every time I drove out to the Lumberjacks route, it's like, it was exciting because just like, what wild thing is he going to talk about this time? And he's just like, goes on to the politics of Providence Oaks. And doesn't he run for an office or something?
No, he ends up, his storyline is to put out a radio message to tell people to complain about apartments.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So,
I forgot. Just like wild little stories like that, I think, make the game compelling. And that's really what it is, you know, just 6 hours of these goofy little stories that are just fun. And honestly, I think the graphics and everything, it's a very pretty looking game. And it just makes it entertaining to go around. It doesn't overstay its welcome and just, you know, remains entertaining throughout.
Asshole in the little motel who just plays video games for the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
Who can't be bothered to talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Guy's the worst.
He was a piece of shit.
I know. Just awful. I don't even know if I ever... I don't know if we ever learned his name. I think you might have learned it at the end, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm just like, God, I hate this guy.
I don't think you did or you get any information because he's really just... He's just there. You deliver a couple packages. You can either be nice to him or you can be an asshole. I was an asshole because he deserved it.
I think he shows up at the sort of like little meet and greet powwow at the end where you at the diner. And I think he like got so mad at playing his game that he just like fell out of his chair and hurt his neck. So I'm pretty sure he's in like a neck brace or something. And he's just going to be like
that.
He is.
Like, fuck you, my guy.
Hilarious to me that that's where they went with it.
No redemption. He's just a dick the entire
time. Just a dick to be a dick.
He should have been delivering mail. Should have been.
Right? Him on the map.
That's what makes this game, you know, so charming is the people that you visit. Like, I mean, the concept of it is really, you know, just driving around. And like when you first talked about this, I'm like, you know, people make this joke when I was posting about how when I played, like, oh, like, you know, they're like, oh, it's a Hallmark game. And I'm like, so I was kind of going to think a Hallmark movie, but my ending did not fit a Hallmark movie. At least not in 86, I can tell you that for sure.
What was your ending? If we want to get into that now.
Not yet. But
okay,
I will.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a discussion.
But oh yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely not 86, and I did not get a Hallmark 86 movie ending. That's if Hallmark was even around 86, that's for sure, or 90 Hallmark, I can tell you that for sure. So I got none of those, but like, you know, it just was so charming just to drive around. Like the music, I liked it, but I didn't realize there's only two tracks. So I don't.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
oh no. My witchcraft.
I did like that song, but I'm like, I want to hear something else now.
Oh my god, my friends and I will still just like. Bring it up in our group chat. Just be like, my witchcraft.
It was funny.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, it actually was really funny when, you know, I just over here randomly, and I'm just like, I tried to turn off the music a couple points. And I'm like, I don't want the music. I don't want to hear this song again.
God, I think of like, would this be a good description of it? I think maybe is Providence Oaks, the place it takes, you know, the setting of the game. Would it be accurate to say it's like, imagine Twin Peaks if nothing went wrong?
I mean,
yeah. Like if everything was happy and it was just a cozy town, like
I haven't watched enough Twin Peaks, but like, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just the idea of a town in the Northwest, you know, part of the States in the late 80s. Like it's just a calmer pipe. You know, the idea is that we haven't really like built up as much as what we are now in 2024, like, you know, as a country, like, you know, it's just cool. I mean, there's still small towns out there. I drove up to Northern Minnesota last year. I went to a town called Grand Marais. Somebody out there might get that. And like, it's just a little town in right by the, not that far from the, about 2 hours away from the border of Canada. Like, and it's just, I remember there was a bait shop, there was a donut shop, and there wasn't much else. And a couple of restaurants maybe. And it was just like one of those things where I'm just like, this is interesting. You know, I remember I actually have a magnet. I bought a magnet from a place that World's Best Donuts. Are they? Nah, never good, but but like, it was just interesting. Like, this is, and yeah, so that's kind of like, small towns are still like that in 2024, I should say. Like, yeah, it hasn't really, like, when you get far enough out there, it's still there.
Yeah. It's that idea of, like, let's, I mean, you know, in a lot of towns, it's probably harder to find now, obviously, given the technology and everything, but it's like, you know, this Providence Oaks is a place that's really not touched by a lot of modern sensibilities. Like, they have, you know, stores and everything, I guess, that's kind of like, maybe as modern as they get, but it's still a place more tucked away.
Yeah, and it feels like that. I mean, the idea is, you know, like with her, she left 20 years ago and never came back. I get that 100%. I left my hometown. I didn't come back for fucking 9 years. So, or something like that. I get it. Like, sometimes you just don't want to go back. You're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
You move on with your life.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a story that, you know, I guess you could say is in a lot of Hallmark style movies. Just, it's a very, I don't want to say, you know, story of, you know, wanting to come back to home after so long and just kind of, you know, it's a classic, like the big city is not all it's meant to be storyline. You know, it's, we love our cozy small towns where everyone knows each other and everyone's friendly. It's a very, you know, story that's been told many times before, but I guess never so much in a video game format. And I think that, you know, level of interactivity is where the, you know, you can really get into the story and kind of have fun with it.
I mean, not like this. And plus, like, you can really alter the game depending on how much you talk with the different residents as you deliver packages. I mean, you can be just real, like, here's your mail, bye! And just, or you can ask them questions. You can, you know, exhaust the dialogue tree. There's not a whole lot of it, but you can... You can do stuff with it, which will then give her events persona style where she does stuff after work each day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, and that really adds to it.
Yeah.
Like, really unique. And I was like, this is, like, I had a great time playing this for my 6 hours. Like, I was having a lot of fun, way more than I expected. And I was like, okay, did not expect, like, I got really into this game, didn't want to put it down. I just want to put headphones in and just zone out in this world and hear the same song over again. My witchcraft.
There were, I think after work, you either had an option to like watch TV or like read a book. And I remember I chose like read a book because I mean like I'm big into reading or whatever. But like they like there was this I can't remember like the book you did. It was some like ridiculous like satirical Regency thing, and it was like the you know like the hot duke or whatever, and the like peasant lady or whatever. And it was like fully voice acted with this narrator if I remember correctly, and it was just, like was. They put so much effort into this goofy ass like ridiculous book. I think I remember I just like read the book the entire like every opportunity I could. I'm like, all right, I need to know like the next chapter of like I don't know this, whatever the hell the book the fake Regency romance was. Like it was incredibly goofy. Just yeah. a lot of little touches like that in the game.
But that's what I enjoyed so much. And there's even like a story that started getting me thinking there's some kind of conspiracy story, because early on in this game, because you have about, you do it for your 10 weekdays, so you have 10 days that you go out and deliver mail. It doesn't even feel like it blows by. It really does. I'm like, the game's over already? Delivering mail for another week. I won't even notice. But there was a couple things that got me thinking. There's one where I don't remember this guy's name, but he's an asshole. He's some guy who works for the post office that comes over. He ends up
Postmaster General or whatever.
Yeah, and all I could think of was... I mean, we're in 2024, so stuff happened with the post, with maybe not, I don't know, the Postman General, the title of the asshole that, like, hey, we're going to just shut down machines so we get our, so the mail goes behind so people can't vote on that, all that garbage that happened. But this guy is just an asshole, and this guy just, he ends up suspending your coworker, which I'm like, who is this guy even delivering to? Like, is there that much mail you need two postal workers for this little town? Like, come on now.
I didn't even think about that.
Like, I was like, you really don't need two people, I don't think, because not everyone can get mail. Well, I guess you can get garbage mail every day, but this is the 80s. Like, how much garbage are they getting? Like, but again, more stuff was printed in the 80s, so there's that. But it was just weird to me. I'm like, why are they, you know, they suspend him for no reason, like, for gambling, but then that never, like, that storyline goes nowhere. Like, you get a conclusion of it where that guy sent away and the buddy's like, oh, I had friends. Like,
yeah, that was
that's it.
Disappointment for me, but
same. I was like, I want more.
Yeah, like, I totally forgot that was the thing.
It sort of felt a little bit to me like, I don't know if you guys have played a Firewatch.
Yes,
I have on this podcast.
But actually, there's sort of a storyline in there where at the beginning it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And then the actual ending of it just ends up being like very, like, kind of disappointedly grounding. Grounded. I'm like, well, I don't know. I felt like the payoff just didn't work there. I loved Firewatch. Phenomenal game. But yeah, that was just something where in this game, it was just like, oh man, are there going to be stakes? Is he going to get in trouble? Like, what's going to happen? And then it was just kind of like, nah, we just brush past that. It's fine.
Yeah. Expectations. I mean, I love Firewatch personally too. And I like that ending, but it's kind of one of those things where it takes what you expect and just throws it out the window. And that's kind of what they were going for, I think.
For me, that was Gone Home, if either of you have played that. Yeah, that is a game that I kind of definitely, like, that taught me to, like, oh, if it's not, like, an action game, I probably have to set my expectations for the kind of story it's going to tell.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, it made me appreciate it much more. Like, these, my friends and I all bought that, being like, oh, new horror game's out. This is going to be awesome. Creepy house. And then we played, it's like, oh, this is not what it is at all. And we finished it, and I was like, oh, it's actually a sweet story. But it's like, at that time, I was in high school wanting a horror film. And, you know, now as I've grown, I'm like, okay, I set my expectations correct and be like, this is, you know, going to be a different kind of story, I guess.
I like that personally. Like, in this game, there's another thing that threw me for a loop that I thought was going to come around and did not. You have to deliver a package, which is obviously a chainsaw at one point. But you deliver it to an abandoned cabin.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that, like, out in the woods, too.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this has to play a part. But somebody's like, hey, I need this delivered, but I don't want them to know who it was for me. So we'll have it delivered some middle of nowhere. You know, and I'll go pick it up. And there's the comments of, like, the lumberjack guy that talks about wanting to, you know, cause issues for the apartment buildings. I'm like, is this going to... And then it doesn't go anywhere. Like, they never... It's never referenced. Like, you just deliver a random chainsaw. And I'm like, okay.
Sometimes you get creepy orders.
I personally wanted more. Like, I wanted, like, some conspiracy, but it wasn't what the game was going for. This wasn't what the game was. And that's okay, too. Like, it was just a fun experience where you just are delivering mail, and, like, you aren't supposed... Like, that didn't matter, but it got my attention so much.
I had forgotten about that one actually, but yeah, I remember, like, I think the guy is just like super, super shady, and you're just like, oh boy.
Because he has a gambling debt or something, I guess. And I mean, to be fair, the world does, especially in the 80s and 90s, look down on people who gambled. I mean, half Michael Jordan during that time, but like, it just does. So I get it.
Yeah, I guess it's like also the idea of, you know, maybe in the 80s as well, but you're a male person, so you're going to get, you know, you're going to see weird things in packages. You're going to come across weird situations, but it's like, this isn't, what are you going to do about it? You're just delivering the mail.
And the guy who used to work at FedEx, that didn't change, by the way.
Yeah. So there you go. You got some experience with this. Like, sometimes you're going to come across weird things that really you can't do anything about. And it's just, that's just the way the world goes, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you get weird shit that people want to ship out, and you'll get things that you can't ship. Or, oh, yeah. I once had somebody want to ship ashes, which you can't legally ship, by the way.
All right. Well, good to know. I'll write that down.
So you just don't tell them what's in the box. That's what you want to do. They don't need, because if you tell them, they're like, nope, got to go, bye. Jesus. But yeah, people ship it. You can ship a lot of stuff. You just don't tell them what it is sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. You can ship anything if you want. If you just tell them it's something else, I guess.
Like, liquor is the one thing where they'll catch it, because they're like, this feels like a liquid. But other than that, yeah, you're okay. Speak from experience, from just knowing the post. But yeah, no, I mean, people ship weird stuff because, again, it can be anonymous. You know, the idea that it's a lot more anonymous, you know, people aren't going to notice it, that matter. Just a guy packing your box at some warehouse who could give a shit. And the person delivering it might realize, I know what this is. But other than that, like, it's, you know, it's not something that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah,
that's a lot of different people.
It leads to this game's charm, of course, you know, just with how, you know, how weird can it get? How, you know, maybe, I don't know if there's, other than Paperboy, I can't think of a other mailman game. Like, I'm sure there is one, of course, but it's like, but like, I mean, Death
Paperboy.
Like, or like Death Stranding, like, I mean, it's like,
yeah, I can't think of stuff that where you really, like, your whole game is just delivering packages. I'm sure there's other stuff, but nothing's coming to mind.
Yeah, I guess this game that kind of is so, it's just in its own genre in a way, its own weirdness. And it's a game that, like, I don't know, I'll probably never play a game like it again, you know, in terms of, you know, driving around delivering things and talking to weirdos, you know, I appreciate that, you know, it's something that I'll always have fond memories of because it is so unique in its own way, you know, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just a very fun little charming game.
I mean, again, you talking about it in 2022 or 2023, early 23, whenever the hell you, or no, 21 or yeah, early 22, you got me not to stop thinking about this game for years. I actually was excited and got it in either a Humble Bundle or a Fanatical Bundle. I got it cheap. I also gave away a code at some point on the show, too, because I was excited for people like, hey, like, try this out. Like, I heard good things about it, and I keep thinking about it, but I haven't gotten around to it.
I remember I don't typically post on Facebook, even in groups or anything, but I had ended up making a post about it because I was like, this was a game that just it surprised me. I was like, I didn't know what to expect, and I kind of, like, took me by surprise how much I really did enjoy it. And yeah, there's just a lot of charming, like you guys said, it's very cozy, very charming. I think it's definitely worth, like, a playthrough.
At least, like, once. I didn't even put podcasts on during this game because I just wanted to hear the ambience. That's not like me, by the way.
That's fair. It's like, sometimes if I'm, like, at a, you know, slow part in a game or just not much is happening, I'll put on a YouTube video in the background. But it's like, I think Lake is paced in such a way where you're kind of almost don't have a moment for that. It's like, because the deliveries go by very quick, and then you are constantly kind of engaging with some wacky character, you know, every few minutes. And
You have the ones you have to drive around the entire lake, and then that can take a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I never timed it, but that was definitely the farthest where you might not have any interaction with people. But usually there's always something on one side that you'll end up having to go to, or sometimes on each side. Like, there'll be stuff that to sprinkle it out so you're not just driving aimlessly.
Yeah, exactly. And just, I don't know, maybe there's people, there's just something compelling about being a delivery driver without the stress of actually the whole delivery process. Just, you know, taking people their mail.
Hey, driving around sometimes is not terrible. I've done driving jobs. I mean, I did a job where I drove around the Mall of America and sucked up garbage. No, that was not fun. But I had a vacuum truck. But, like, it can be sometimes just kind of relaxing if you like driving, just to drive, and, like, you just have a task.
Yeah.
You just complete said task. you know, and as long as it's timed out right, like you're not like rushing yourself or feel like, oh, I gotta like, you know, like example, like in this game, when you walk, like I was watching a review and they complained about the walking speed because she walks so slow. And if you hold down the right trigger to walk faster, it's a little bit faster, but not much. But that's the point of the game. It's not a game to rush through. It's not an action game. It's not like, oh, I'm getting chased, gotta go run faster, they don't shoot me. Like, it's not that type of game. You're a mailman who's just doing a job for your father, and you don't give a shit. At the same point, you're like, I'm not gonna run. I'm just gonna look like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, and it's like you're never walking that much, right? You know, it's you're generally not just walking smart to deliver your package, you know. And I don't know, there's something cozy about that. You're not gonna run with a package in your hand. I don't, it was just kind of misplace the vibes almost if you're just trying to rush to do something.
I can say FedEx and UPS would appreciate if you did and didn't drop it and ran every house. I can tell you that based on what I know about those companies, they would appreciate it. As long as you didn't get hurt and everything got delivered faster, they'd be okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, certainly.
But no, this is a different thing.
This is the 80s. Let's try to pretend it's cozier.
I mean, it was for some people. It was for some people. I mean, the country was in better states in late in the 80s this time than like we're all around. I'm assuming you're around the same age. I'm 36. Like, we grew up, you know, like it's a different world than what it was. Like, the way that people look at life in the 80s compared to the way we look at the financial situation of this country of America is completely different. So
that's right. I'm 28 now, so I was born in 95.
Okay.
So yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're all in the same kind of bucket. Like,
So
yeah,
it's funny you guys talk about drive. I actually can't drive. I have this real bad anxiety about it because I just feel like I'm in a death box surrounded by other death boxes.
You're not wrong.
So I you know, this game was a nice fantasy fulfillment. You know, just get to drive around. Got to live that experience with, you know, the same two songs playing on the radio. Very, very realistic there.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, but at least they have an in-game reason, which I appreciate, that the DJ you find later who's broadcasting this outside of his barn. Like, again, this is accurate for the 80s.
The bar.
A nice touch.
This is completely accurate. As a guy, my dad is huge into like amateur radio stuff and things like that. He always was. And he loved getting signals, especially at this time. This would not be something weird if somebody's just like, fuck it, I'm going to broadcast. And like, you could, because there were less stations, there was less, you know, so nobody's going to pay attention and notice what you're doing or care. Like, there were what they used to call pirate radio stations, where somebody would just start up a station randomly, only run it for so long before they got caught, and just play music they wanted to play and then disappear off it. Like, that was a thing growing up. I remember that every so often. In the 90s, it feels like so long ago, but it feels like not as long ago, but it is a long time ago, actually, at this point, like 30 years. But I remember in the early 90s, or maybe like my dad would, we'd be driving. He'd be like, oh, this station isn't real. It's just some guy, like a pirate station, he called. That was one of my first experiences of the word pirate, was radio stations where you're not supposed to be. So,
see, I never knew that. I didn't know that.
You learned something new.
I've seen it before, obviously, but I never knew it was an actual thing that people did.
Yeah, people would do it. I mean, I lived in the Milwaukee area, Wisconsin, and people would do it every so often. Somebody would broadcast and just play the music they wanted to play over the air for a little bit. I mean, there'd be no talking because they're not like they don't want you to track or anything. You only could do it for a couple days. They eventually would figure out where you're at and, you know, come get you. So they would record, you know, they'd be up there for maybe a day or two or a couple hours and they'd disappear and then come back eventually on a different, you know, because there's stations that weren't as used, I guess. But yeah, no, it's a thing. So this fits in like into the time where to us, like, well, that's weird. You know, so we're also in a time where anybody can just, you know, go on the internet and make their own podcast if they want to, you know.
Oh, yeah, shoot. Yeah, make their own radio station now, too. It's online.
Yeah. That's a little bit harder because they'll come after you for copyright.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
You can. You make your own playlist on Spotify. Does that count?
Yeah.
But, you know, so, I mean, it's a nice that they put an in-game reason when it's really just like, we don't have the money to get more licenses for music or to pay somebody to write music and make music for this game. And that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I would appreciate it maybe a few more just like instrumentals or just something to not, but I did enjoy Witchcraft. So, but I would appreciate a little bit. No, but
yeah.
Did he mention something about like, oh, he was going to get like new songs or something like that? Or
yes, he does. So
I remember he mentioned something about like the low amount of tracks or something like that. And this, but yeah, that was just that Witchcraft song. My. Did you guys, by any chance, at the movie store, did you guys look on the shelves?
I did, and I know there's like references and stuff, but it's been so long since I played it, I do not remember what they are.
There's
you go, Luke.
Like, I honestly, I cannot remember a ton of them either, but I know there's like just a ton of parodies. There was like Ghostbusters, Footloose. I can't remember the specific name. I was just saying like there's a lot of like parodies, and it was I think I sat in there for like maybe 5-10 minutes just looking at all of them. It was really silly.
There's The Maze, which is a reference to The Labyrinth, which I caught immediately. It's on the side. Labyrinth is my wife's favorite movie, so I've seen that movie many times. I know that poster very well. And I was like, that's Labyrinth. Like, I sent her a picture. She's like, Labyrinth. I'm like, yep. Like, yeah. And they had Back to the Present, which is actually a better name than Back to the Future, considering what that movie happens. So,
no.
You're not really going back to the future. They're going back to the present, what they're doing.
That's fair. This is true.
Back to their present. Like, it should be, yeah. So, but there's a bunch of other ones, too. I can picture some of them, and I knew what the movies were, but I can't think of like what they're called. But yeah, there's a lot of different stuff that is.
There was references. like a Scream one, like a Ghostbusters or something. I don't know. Like,
there's something Ghostbusters. There's one with a keyhole on the cover and like a blonde woman, but I forget what movie that is supposed to be.
No idea.
Peggy Sue or something. I don't know. I'm not a big '80s movie guy in general. No. I don't know
movies, but. I remember just, you know, looking in there and seeing all the you know, stuff I've maybe never seen, but like, oh, I know this is a movie. And I'm like, It was a nice little touch. Another one of those like charming things that I was like, they really didn't need to do this, but I'm glad they went so hard.
Every time I go into a video store in a video game, it's like every time you go to that, you know, movie store, it's like, it's the first thing I do is look at the shelves. It's like, what are there any references, if any?
I appreciate that. Like, it was such a cool little moment too, just to kind of like, and the video store is so great in this. She's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I know.
I can't remember her name, but Angie. She's really cool.
Yeah. I think Angie Eastman was her name. I think I definitely looked that up on a wiki. But
surprise,
yeah.
It's in there.
She was like one of my favorite characters.
Well, she's one of the best in there. Like, you run you meet her because you deliver a package. She tells you how her movie, you know, place isn't doing good because people don't want to rent movies in the small town, which again makes sense. It's the late 80s. Not everybody has a VCR. I mean, they're much more expensive at the time. Movies were much more expensive too in the 80s, like $90 at one point, I think, for some of the VHSs or something crazy. There's something like that. Like, Batman, I think, was like $70 or $80 because they, you know, it was mostly sold to a business. So, like, you can pay it because you're going to make your money back. So it was just different time.
Yeah, interesting.
For people. I mean, again, I don't know. I only know this because I've heard people talk about it on podcasts.
Yeah.
And YouTube videos. That's all I know. It's a fact. But I'm like, okay. No, movies are weird, like, because it's a different thing. And, like, you deliver a portable VCR to a couple different people to have them watch a movie, and you get to pick out what movie they watch. And it's,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's some cool little moments. Like, I liked it.
I think there's a healthy layer of player choice, you know, agency in the game to let kind of gives that, you know, highlights the interactivity a little bit and makes the game more exciting because, yeah, it is. It's not like a Baldur's Gate by any means, but there is a level of choice that kind of permeates throughout the entire experience, you know, leading the entire time. So it's like, you know, in a way, I don't think it would lead the best to replayability, but I think it leads the best to memorability. So you just kind of have, you know, there's more memories that you came from, like, this was your specific, like, you chose this movie for someone, you chose this dialogue, you chose to stay and read a book inside. That just kind of lead to, you know, making the most out of this is your delivery job, your kind of life for these few weeks here. And I don't know, it's almost like, you know, role playing in a way.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, and it captures that experience of giving you choice and making you feel more, you know, connect to the world. And I'm glad that it's not like Baldur's Gate level choice. I don't want, I don't want that type of choice in any game, to be honest. Like, I want the game to be like, this is where you're supposed to go. I'm like, go do this. Not, well, how do you want to get there? Do you want to go over the wood? Do you want to go through the wood? Yeah, do you want to fly? Do you want to just go over the mountain? I'm like Breath of the Wild. Too many choices, too many options. Don't do that to me.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. It's like, I get very overwhelmed if there are like a million different like ways something can carry out in a game. And it's just like, I, you know, the thing where it's like, you can't see everything in one playthrough, like, stresses me out. So I it's one of those things where I really like these sort of shorter, like narrative driven experiences that it's kind of like one and done. I'm finding that a bit more compelling than the huge, like endless open world type stuff. Like it's good to have these kind of palate cleansers every now and again.
Oh, totally.
You need that.
Yeah, in a way, you know, I love every kind of game, but you know, it's definitely a style. I mean, my favorite games of all times are mostly linear Japanese RPGs. You know, as much as I love player choice, I will love a game that is linear and tell, like, you know, will walk me through the story.
Yeah, tell me a good story versus like this. You play it for a million hours and it's just sort of the same stuff over and over again, and the story's there, but it's like so much just filler, I guess. And this is like none of that, you know.
Exactly.
Depends, you know, on where you're at in life. There's a lot of it too.
Oh, for sure.
No,
because I remember when I got fired a year and a half ago or so, or maybe 2 years, depending on when you're hearing this. And like I was playing Arkham Knight, and I was just like, you know what? I love the fact that this is completely open world, and I can just punch people while I'm irritated, and just explore this game for 40 hours.
There is.
It came at the right time. Or my schedule came at the right time.
Sure.
There is definitely like it's just a good open world game where you can just get lost in. Like it has its merits for sure. But like I write myself, and it's like if I'm not working, then I'm probably writing. So my video game time is sort of limited. I have like a huge backlog, and it's like I want to play games, but also, you know, I want to write and tell stories and stuff. So that's kind of what I focus on more often than not.
You want to be creative. Like, that's why I started a podcast where I play games, so I could play games and talk about it and still be creative and play new games.
Yeah.
Hey, I get it completely. I was trying to be a writer when I was in high school in early 20s, but then I had a kid and then that was the end of that. But I was like really, I was writing short stories. I wrote a novel. Like I was like, I'm going to be an author. And then I'm like, I need money now. So we got to do it. So that stopped. I should go back to writing. It was either writing. I mean, if I wasn't podcasting, I'd be writing at this point.
Writing is such a wonderful thing. It makes me so happy. But I mean, I have a creative writing degree. So
if it wasn't for this podcast, I'd be back to writing again. But this is my creative output. And now this thing I create every three times a week at this point. So, there's another one, the random people in Lake that you run into is the crazy cat lady.
Oh, yeah.
I like her because like the hilariness of it. Like I was thinking, here's the most unrealistic part of this game is where all the cats just stay in her yard. I'm like, completely unrealistic. Yeah. Not happening. It'd all be gone.
That little mini storyline where one of her cats got sick and you had to take it to the fisherman guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, I did that.
Yeah.
I was like fun little moments like that. You know, it's like it's a moment of tension, but it's really not obviously that intense, but it's just kind of fun. Yeah. Like, you know, you get to go back to a character you already previously met, and it's kind of just like, you know, further existing in this world. It's a small town. Everyone knows each other, and you are, you know, slowly becoming one with this small town and getting to meet everyone and kind of like, oh yeah, you know who the fisherman is, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the people have been there since when you were a kid and they just never left.
Yeah. That's the realest thing of it all.
I mean, it is like a lot of people. I tell everybody at one point in your life, if you can, you should leave your hometown, your home city, and live somewhere else, because it's just, I think it's a good experience. Like me, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. At 18, I moved up to, I mean, not that far, but I moved to the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Like, you know, I traveled 6 hours for a girl. I mean, girl's long gone, but I stayed here. I met my wife. I've been here now for, God, 17 years. Like, it's just, this is my home now. And I'm so glad I did that leap. But I think sometimes you just need that. Like, you want to do that leap. You want to, like, have that experience. And I can't imagine living in a small town your whole life. Like, I have been to small towns. When I was up in northern Minnesota, I was talking about earlier, like I thought about, you know, I could see myself just living up here and writing all the time, and just that'd be it. Like that's what went through my head.
Yeah. But
at the same time, I think I'd miss the world.
Yeah. My folks are from a pretty small town about 5 hours south of me. I'm from Indiana, and I live up in Fort Wayne, which is a fairly big city. Not like, I don't know. It's like, it's got that kind of big city.
But it's not a town of 200 people like Lake, so it's a big town.
It's not a small town by any means. But, you know, especially for me, because I can't drive, kind of getting out is kind of hard for me. But I did sort of, you know, I went to college maybe, I mean, it wasn't far. It was like an hour 15, but at least, you know, that experience of like living on my own and just kind of being away from like my parents and stuff was definitely like invaluable for me. Like, I do not love the student loan debt that I have from my
well, that's a different problem. That's not,
but that's not your fault. I love institution. The experience of just, you know, being on my own and just, you know, learning to survive. Kind of. I do live on my own now. I'm married. I have my wife. But, you know, it's funnily enough, I live in the house that I did grew up in. But just that experience of moving away and getting away from what you know into just and being sort of thrown into something new, especially for me, who is like, I'm a very big, like, I have my bubble and I stay in it kind of vibes. But it was just, I don't want to get on too long, but it was just a good experience to get out there, you know.
100%.
It is. It's. I think it's, you know, and I think that's something that this game kind of talks about. Like, it shows, like, she sees one of her old best friends at one point, which we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, at first, it's hard to connect. Like, the first moment is awkward, and then as you meet her again and talk with her and things are better, which, again, is realistic. Like, you haven't seen this person in 20 years. You haven't talked to them because the internet doesn't exist, so apparently you don't know how to pick up a phone. Like,
that's a scene world. I really didn't appreciate. I really didn't appreciate that at the time, but yeah, that's good.
I mean, and that's kind of how it is. Like, for example, I got married 6 years ago, and I ran into my friends, and we hadn't seen each other in over 10 years. And within minutes, it was just like we were all kids again. Like, we just started joking, you know, just right back to how we were. Like, that, some of that doesn't go away. Like, it's just in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a cool element of this too. They captured that. Like, you're on the. You go up to that fire tower and she's like, oh, you remember this time you got drunk and started puking up here? Like, that's what you would do. Like, hell, when I went back to Milwaukee the first time in 7 or 8 years, I went, there was a wall that me and my friend used to climb up by his apartment. I climbed up the wall and took a picture and sent it to him. Like, there was no point to it, but I'm like, I want to do what we just did, even though it was hard, a lot harder when I wasn't young. But, like, you know, it's just little things like that. And I thought that was just so cool that this game captures elements in different ways. You know, the lumberjack thing is somebody you can date, the video girl, someone you can date, you know, new people. Then, but you have the old cat lady who remembers you. You have the old fisherman that remembers you. You have your old friend that, you know, that married the high school quarterback and is still here. And, like, just lots of little elements that are just so cute.
I really like that kind of, like, storyline, that reconnecting with an old friend and that sort of sense of, like, shared history. I love that type of stuff. I mean, it's what I kind of try and put into my own writing is just a sense of, like, characters who have history and, you know, like, just sort of, you know, it helps things feel real. It helps the characters feel more alive. So that was, I really enjoyed that little storyline, especially, I think there was a little bit later on, I think there's sort of a part where you tease trying to, like, do singing or something, do music, and you sort of can either help her, like, kind of grow in that aspect and kind of, I think she had mentioned talking about, like, maybe getting out of town, and you can kind of help her along that way or maybe not. I mean, it's totally up to you whether you even want to, like, pursue a relationship with this old friend of yours again. I did myself. Just because I'm sentimental, but
I did too.
But also, you know. But yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's your choice. If you want to engage with this in the game, you can. If you just don't, if it's not important to you, then you don't have to make that choice.
Yeah, but that's what makes this game special too, is that you have the whole, I mean, again, you can be a complete jerk and just, you know, not do any dialogue trees, but you'd be missing out. There's also the girl we haven't talked about, the mechanic girl that you run into.
Oh,
I like her storyline where you can invite her over to watch Nightmare on Elm Street with you, which I thought was cool.
Oh yeah, I
forgot about that. That movie a lot. She was such a wonderful character too.
Also on this podcast too, if you want to hear about that review of that movie. So, like, it was just, you know, little moments like that I really appreciated. Then there's also the couple that's, like, running from the police or something that is hiding out in an RV in the woods.
Yeah, with the RV.
They were kind of fun.
Yeah, they were a kind of a late addition to the story, and one that I felt I kind of wanted to, like, explore a little more, and I wish they would have kind of dove into that a little more, but it was just another one of those things where it just kind of, like, glossed over, and I was like, well, there.
I mean, their point is just to give you the damn RV, essentially, so you can that story, but yeah.
But it's just like, I don't know, maybe you brought them in a little bit earlier.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have more stuff going on with them sooner than later. I'm with you on that one. So I would have enjoyed to have more story, like who they are, what they're up to, what, you know, kind of what they're like, just a little bit more. Cause I like how they invite you over, like, hey, do you want to smoke?
Yeah. I mean, it was intriguing. There were interesting characters, but you just didn't get much about them. And I was like, dang, kind of a missed opportunity there, I felt. But
that's fair. But then they leave because you got to get the RV that you can either take the RV. But I think I'm assuming that no matter what you do, the same storyline probably plays out. Like for me, I didn't take the RV. They drop it off. And then the video store girl bought the RV or took the RV.
Yeah, I ended up seeing all the endings. I went back through and laid through them all.
That's what I should have done.
It doesn't take long. It's just, you know, there. I think there's the RV ending is probably like the hardest one to get. But then the other ones are just kind of like you have a choice at the end and it's what you decide to do.
I did the RV ending. I was actually not going to, and I hit the wrong dialogue option, and then there she went. So, wasn't on purpose. We can talk about the ending now. I think we covered all the characters in the town.
All right. So my ending I chose, if I get this right, I'm trying to remember, is to stay there. I think is, oh God, there's the ending, just to confirm, is there an ending where you can leave and then come back? Or is it
No, because if you go back to New York or wherever the hell it is, we're going to say New York, the way the guy, because throughout, one thing I forgot to mention, but throughout the time you're playing this game, he's sending you work to do and he signed some big contract and he's like, you're going to be a millionaire, but you got to work for me for the next 5 years.
Oh, that's right.
To be honest, fucking take, that's what I wanted to do. I'm like, take the fucking job, be the millionaire. If you want to leave after 5 years, fucking you're set. Like, you can do what you, I'm like, this is then the 80s. You can
move
like,
back, yeah.
That's a whole lot of money in the 80s. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, you know, I mean, it's not fun not to, you know, to be like, hey, are you going to pay rent this month? Who knows? Like, that's not a fun experience. Like, you get the idea. You don't have to go through that ever in your life. Take it.
I think, yeah, I think that's what made me a little uncomfortable with the ending, because I remember I chose to stay and like take up the mail carrier position. But I was also like, well, you know, I wish there was an option to work for 5 years, get filthy rich, and then come and live a peaceful life.
But that takes away from what the game's trying.
Sure. Yeah. It's just like thinking
I
that
think my canonical ending, I guess the first one I went for was the go back to the city ending. I was like, I mean, yeah, this guy, I don't know. I felt like I knew it was the vibes. It was like, oh, it was push. It was like, you know what you're going for. It was like, oh, stay here in the small town or get that money. Yeah. Like,
get that fucking money.
Yeah.
The game certainly wants you to pick a certain ending, right? It's like, you know, did the game convince you after 6 hours to that, like, this town is better than New York? And it's like, yeah, probably. But it's like millions of dollars we're talking about.
Right, it's like not a small amount of money.
Like, no, it was a lot of money.
No, it's like, I don't know, maybe if it was like, you know, maybe like like 50 or like a $100,000 is like a nice kind of square number. That's not $1 million.
Yeah,
no, it's a crazy amount of money where you're like, you're gonna be set for life if you do this for 5 years. And it's like,
isn't it like you were working on like a task keeping kind of app or something.
Yes. You see it throughout the game here and there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just wild.
I mean, I think she'd be entitled to some anyway, because when the companies merge and she technically is an employee of the company, like I think by legally she would still get some money, royalties and stuff. Like there's with the merger and thing, you still get cuts when that stuff like that happens. I watch enough documentaries. Like there's something that will happen where you will get a cut of it just because that's how that works legally.
Well, she can take that money and just stay in the cozy town of Providence.
I mean, I wanted to ask the video chick to come with me to go back to New York. So I didn't say no to her right away. The next thing I know, I was in the RV driving off with her. I'm like, that's not the ending I wanted.
That was, No, I kind of agree there. Because I personally, like, I thought the video lady was way more interesting than the kind of just
lumberjack
on, like, the sad sack lumberjack who the entire town was trying to push you with. Like, the diner lady was like, hey, you know, you got a hot date night with the lumberjack? And I'm just like, I love water. and pancakes and no dessert. This is not my jam. This is not a date. Get out of here. But like,
she's trying.
Yeah, he was trying real hard. Everyone was trying real hard. No, I was not about it. The ending with the video store lady, it was not my preferred thing. I'm just like, well, what are you? So you just kind of, you're going to live in this RV and just not, like, how are you going to make money? Like, what the fuck are you going to do, ladies? I don't know. Like, you know, there's stability there's guaranteed stability with the New York thing. There's like the cozy, maybe it's not as stable, kind of like not as secure, you know, money.
You mean the gambling money. Lumberjack? Yeah, probably not that safe. Like, hey, honey, I look at all the royalty money we got. We got $100,000. Oh, you did? I put $100,000 on the Broncos. Like, yeah.
I mean, just like not really like romantically. I just mean like financially for you as a character, as like Merrick. There's like your $1 million at your New York job. There's the like, sure, you're going to get some money with the mail thing. And then you can just be like, fuck it, and go on an RV trip to where the who the fuck knows. I'm like, what? I don't know.
We all think about it too grounded. We think about it too realistically. It's like,
yeah.
I think, you know, maybe that's the, like, you know, the game is like, hey, do you want to travel the world? Do you want to just stay in a cozy town? Or do you want to go back to the sad city? And I'm just like, well, I just want to be happy so that, and being, generally, being content and stable requires an income. And so we're just, you know, let's get our income first.
But they don't want you to think about that in the 80s.
No, exactly. They don't want you to think about that.
Yeah, looking at it with that through that lens, it's felt very like binary is sort of a thing that I just like. That even the kind of gray area, the third option, I was just like, doesn't make sense to me, I guess. Or if you think about it, like, logically, just sort of like, I don't know, it wasn't the best move in my opinion.
No, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I didn't want to run away in the RV with her. I mean, I think it's cute, like, that you can do that, that this game gives you the option to, and again, I, you know, because this came out in 2022, like, I like that that's there, or no, 2021, or 22, depending on what system, but I really appreciate it, but I was thinking to myself, like, this is the 80s, they are not going to have a good life. The 80s are not going to be respectful of who they are, and it's always going to be, well, this is my roommate. This is my friend. Like, that's as far, you can't, it's the 80s.
Yeah.
So, I was just thinking, like, again, I was looking more into it than the game wanted you to. I was like, things that, you know, we are not nice, and well, we're still not nice at times as a people, like, to that. Like, people are stupid. Like, I mean, it's a lot less than what it was. I mean, compared to, like, I remember the 90s. I remember the early 2000s growing up and the dumb shit that I would say thinking it's funny that I would never repeat again. Like, you know, like, I grew up, but it's like, society was not nice. So I don't know. I just went through my head.
The crushing reality of the real world, like, dampens the you know, fantasy ending that we all want. Like
that the Hallmark ending.
Yeah.
But still, like, I'm so happy it's there. Like, I didn't even try to romance the lumberjack. I was like, nah, fuck you. I went to dinner with him. I did this, but I was like, like you said, not a date. Not a date.
Which just wasn't a great romance option. He just wasn't.
No. But it's the Hallmark, you know, like, the video girl made sense. They were connecting. Like, I remember when I got the option to kiss her, I kissed her. And I'm like, hey, did she go inside the apartment? And then later on, I found out she didn't go inside the apartment. I'm like, come on, guys, you had a perfect chance. It's throwing a little sex thing. Like, you don't even need, I don't need to, I don't want a scene. I just want going, I had a good night that night when I came over. Like, something's like, enough. Like, I would know exactly what you mean. I'll be happy. Nope.
Yeah.
Just, we're going to, we kiss. So now we're going to run away together.
Mm-hmm. But as one does.
Sure.
Uh-huh. In the 80s.
In a Hallmark movie, if Hallmark was around in the 80s.
I don't know. They probably were, right? I mean, they got all the greeting cards and shit.
I had the ability to look this up through a click.
Hallmark gives me, like, 80s vibes. That's all I get.
Oh, dear. I fell into a little bit of a rabbit hole. We were talking about
the first Christmas. Hallmark movie is Amma Hall and the Night Visitors that came out in 1951.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, showing our age a little bit. Yeah.
They were around.
I had randomly decided to check out some Christmas movies on Netflix. Good Lord. Yeah, they are. It's all the same shit.
You need to watch Violent Night.
I saw that, or I didn't see it, but, like, I heard of that, and it looked interesting.
Watch it. Trust me. That movie, don't look up anything, don't read anything, go into that movie completely blind, and you will have a great time.
I think I watched the trailer, I know the premise, but beyond
that's enough.
That,
like, do not look up anymore, go into it just with that information, And I didn't even watch the trailer. I went into the movie completely blind because a friend recommended me for this podcast. There's an episode about it. And I was just blown away with how much I loved that movie. So check out Violent Night for sure.
Or maybe, or the late Christmas DLC, Holiday in Providence.
We'll see how if it goes on sale for like a couple bucks and I can convince two other suckers that are on this podcast with me to buy it. We'll see about next year or later. Listen, this year.
I'll make a pledge.
By $280 or $240 in Xbox money that I have lying around.
It's got to be dirt cheap. Like, I looked it up. It's like $20 or $15.
No, it's like, isn't it 10? I think it's $10. Is it not?
$10? It's still too much. I'm a cheap bastard that buys my games on Steam on sale and bundles. Like, I want it dirt cheap when I buy your DLC.
I got to check this.
It's $10.
It's $10. Okay.
Okay. So,
if they drop it down to $5 or under on a sale, I will pick it up, and then we will do a mini on it in Christmas time, because, sure.
The DLC better give me another 6 hours of mail delivery experience.
Just replay it over and over again.
The coziest Christmas vibes.
Oh, you don't even play as Meredith. You play as your dad.
Yeah, it looks very cozy. Just like the driving in the snow looks so cool. I don't know. That's a vibe.
I had no idea there was DLC, but I could imagine like Christmas vibes. Dude, I love Christmas vibes.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I could see it.
Especially like
maybe the song will be Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Witchcraft.
Oh my God. Brand new music only for Christmas.
I would love some I am a sucker for like the classic Christmas stuff. Yeah, so I don't know. I could see it if they could do some nice Christmas music. It's the same two Christmas songs over and over again. I would love them, probably.
That would be mutant for me. I only like Christmas music at one time of the year. That's it.
Well, you'd be playing it around Christmas, so...
I would be, so it'd be okay. But
yeah,
it'd be okay. And I mean, when I mean one time of year, I mean one day of the year. Christmas Day.
Just Christmas and that's it.
That's it. I don't want to hear it otherwise. I'm like, Christmas Day, I'll have all the Christmas music you want to give me. So after that, I'm good.
You got to play the Lake Christmas DLC on Christmas.
Is another Christmas game that I'm hoping to put on the show that came out late last year, but I didn't pick it up. Ebenezer in the Invisible World. It's a Metroidvania Christmas game.
Interesting. Oh, wow. I don't think I'm familiar with it.
It just came out, but yeah, it looks... I forgot it existed, but when we were talking, and I looked up Lake, I ended up on DLC, I ended up on this. I'm like, oh yeah, that exists.
Fell down a rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Somehow you ended up on Ebenezer.
I always try to look up, because I like to do one Christmas game, or one full Christmas episode every year for this show, and I do a few other Christmas things, like right before Christmas, and that's it. So,
yeah.
And we did Cthulhu Saves Christmas 1 year. Forgot what the fuck we did last we did Nightmare Before Christmas, Oogie's Revenge. That's what it was. Okay.
Oh, that's fun.
All right, anything else you guys want to say about Lake before we go to Shelf Stacker Bach?
I think it's a great game. I think everyone, I don't know, especially like I'll go back to how I started. There's a lot of cozy games out there, and a lot of cozy games ask for a lot of your time. And, that's not always and completely intuitive. The length of this game and the overall enjoyment and pacing is really, really strong. And I think that's why more people should play Lake and more people should check it out. Even if it's like, you want a few hours to relax and play something different, it's totally worth it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, I definitely like share the same sentiment there. This was one that just kind of flew out of nowhere, took me by surprise. I played it on Game Pass after playing that demo for like that they had for 2 hours or whatever. I was sucked in, and I saw it was on Game Pass, and I'm like, sure, I'll check this out. And it was just really compelling, really interesting. Maybe not as deep as I would want from some of the storylines, or I thought there were some threads that were kind of left dangling. But overall, just really interesting experience and just really cozy, the cool game.
All right, we'll go to Shelf Stacker Box. Shelf being something you really like, stack being something you enjoyed, just didn't love it, and box being something you disliked. And I'll go first. I'm gonna put this in the shelf. Like, I was excited to play this game, and it met my expectations. I had a great time. It was like we've already said a few times, it was a cozy game. It was nice. I couldn't stop playing it for 6 hours. I beat it in a day, I think. It was fast. I just couldn't put it down. I just had to get through it. And I had a great time. Like, I'm so glad I finally played it. Like, thanks to you convinced me and talked about it years ago. I finally did it. So,
hey, right, better late than never.
Agreed. And what about, and play it on the Steam Deck also, which was a great little experience because it was portable. And what about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'll shelf this one. It's great. You know, like I already just said, incredible game. You know, I just play it.
And Luke?
Yeah. Once again, I kind of already said it earlier, but I think I would definitely shelf this one. I think there's something special about it. You know, I think you could even say that it had some witchcraft going on. But
sorry, joke.
But no, definitely just a fun, cozy little game. I think people should definitely give it a shot.
Right. And Chris, where can people find you at?
I'm at Pretentious Nerds on YouTube. You know, I just type that into YouTube and it comes up. It's cool. I like that. I have been putting out videos more recently. There's tons of games coming out January and February. I've done some impressions of demos recently. I touched the Devil May Cry mobile game. It's a video game, unfortunately. But hey, I've played too many games this week, so I want to make some videos about those. But the video I want to push is my favorite games of last year. We had, like, 2023 is a crazy year of video games, and 2024 looks to be even better. But it's worth it. That video is really fun, and I enjoy ranking things, especially games that most people don't know.
I'm just looking up your video of the Devil May Cry mobile game. That looks like it shouldn't be mobile, other than I'm assuming that.
So it came out in China a few years ago, and the big, like, discussion was that, like, hey, this game is, like, a real Devil May Cry game. Like, what is this? Like, why is it play like a real Devil May Cry game, which is good? And it plays really well, but one major problem is that it's a mobile game. So it is probably one of the most egregious mobile games I've played in recent memory. Constant ads flashing on the screen during gameplay. Just, you know, if you want to have any fun with it, you got to drop and start drawing. You know, you want to play as Virgil with cool swords, get ready to spend some money, you know, just otherwise.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it sucks. Like, I mean, but again, the game is fun to play, which is the problem, because they nailed the combat. But then it's like, you want to keep playing. You got to put thousands of gear items on. You need to level up a ton. I just, no.
And worse, just play the games.
It's mobile games for you. It's just what they do. It's just how they make their money. I mean, I play Marvel Snap, and Marvel Snap gets anywhere from $10 to $30 a month out of me. So, you know,
at least
Marvel Snap
is good. You know, that's the one thing I'll say.
I've gotten sucked into them before in mobile games. Some gacha games for me.
Marvel Snap, thankfully, isn't a gacha game. So
it's
God.
It's a card thing, though. Can you buy, like, packs or whatever? I don't know.
Thank God, no. Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's actually very friendly. Okay. At least when I played it,
it still is. They have the spotlight cash system now, which I don't know if they had it when you played it, where you get four boxes and every week it changes what's in there. There's one brand. You know exactly what the four things are you're gonna get, know exactly what you're gonna get. It's not. It doesn't trick you. I mean, you have a 1 in 4 chance to get the new card. You have, you know, and then once you get that, if you get one of the other things, then it, you know, you have a 2 in 4 chance and 3 in 4 chance. Then you're like, you know, you're gonna get it. Period. Like.
Are they, are they like loot boxes or whatever? Is it like kind of a thing or?
The game had loot boxes and then the game got so much hate for it, the game took it out pretty quick. So
yeah, that checks out.
So I know I spend money on it, but I know exactly what I'm doing. Like, it's like, oh, hey, you buy this bundle, and you'll get X amount of, you know, credits and X amount of the different currencies, and I'll get a cool variant. Like, okay, then I'll bite, and I do it. Sometimes.
Marvel Snap is good in that I stopped playing it because I didn't like the person it made me become. I would just get really aggressive while playing it because, like, again, they have the risk reward system. I forget what it's called, but it's cubes. If you win a game, you can, like, bet on it, like, bet that you'll win. What is it?
That's not there.
That's not there anymore?
No. I mean, you can, like, you have the cubes you can wager during the game.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I know I'm going to win, so I'll wager this amount of cubes. And it's like,
see, the trick is you just stop giving a shit about those cubes, and then the game's more fun.
Yeah, but I got so bad with it. I'd be like, I'm going to win this so hard. And then I just, like, we get fucked over so many times.
Mm-hmm. I just stopped caring about it. I'm like, I get to, Sorry,
that's the real reason.
No Marvel Snap part, but like I get to, like the '70s, '80s, sometimes, usually '80s in a season, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, sure, I'd love to get 90 to get the 500 gold currency, which is the money currency, but like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, I just play. Like, my goal is just beat every mission that pops up, which you can easily do just by fate. You can even help just lose automatically just to win missions. Like, that's my goal. Just play the missions, get the get whatever the credits are, get the currency the game gives me. I get new cards. Like, right currently, I'm only missing 4 cards in the game at the time of this recording. I won't be as of the next 2 months, because I won't be getting most of the cards because it doesn't make sense for me. But like, I'll get them eventually. But yeah, I love the game. So
that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
I don't give a shit about if I win or lose. I'm just like, I just play to play, and I don't even care anymore. So
healthy.
Yeah. I just, my goal is like any card game, I just want to collect the damn cards, and if I got more cubes, it doesn't really enhance me collecting more cards, so I don't care. So it works for me. All right, and I think that. Oh yeah. So if you want to support the show, we do a Patreon. Little dog, vote in our Patreon poll. You'll see a link in the show notes for that. We do have a Discord. Please join our Discord. Chat with us. And if you want to find all our other work, we have over 550 episodes. Probably by the time you hear this, it's gonna be over 600 by the time you hear this. I'm pretty sure. You can find everything we do on Podbean. We are also on all the other podcatchers, but Podbean has the entire catalog, and you can search it right there. So if you can't find what you're looking for, try Podbean. Type in Star Wars. Type in Live a Live. You will find an episode with Chris on it.
Go
through our giant catalog. We are also on. And want to give a shot. So like I said, join our Discord, and I want to give a shot of an awesome intro and outro courtesy of Helena at Hell Hasphere. You can follow her on TikTok. You will see a link in TikTok, Instagram, and Twitch. You will see a link in the show notes to her channels. You see a link tree. Also, check out A Gamer Looks at 40. My buddy Bill Tucker started his own podcast like 2 years ago. Now the show all the time, so definitely go check him out. Also, go check out Nomads of Fantasy, another podcast I work with. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, TikTok, where I make tutorial videos, Blue Sky, and YouTube. Audio only, but I do post everything on YouTube, so if you get your podcast that way, they are all there. So I think that's everything I need to say, so we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.